What's up, everyone? It's Michael Scotto, HoopsHype.com's NBA writer and host of the Hoops Hype Podcast. The James Harden 4-team blockbuster trade sending him to the Nets, Victor Oladipo to the Rockets, Caris LeVert to the Pacers, and Jared Allen to the Cavaliers is complete. So what's next for those four teams? And who are the next all-stars who could be on the move by the trade deadline? I'm going to break it down for you with my colleague, Yossi Goslin, our salary cap expert right now. How you doing, Yossi?
I'm doing well, Mike. Thanks for having me on. How have you been?
Oh, my pleasure. Just keeping busy, as is the rest of the league, with this blockbuster move and one that I think changes the landscape in the Eastern Conference for the Brooklyn Nets, getting the trio now of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, with Irving presumably coming back, of course, from his leave, coming off of personal reasons. Now, obviously, that's been a hot topic for the Nets. And, you know, Steve Nash said recently that throwing Kyrie in the mix makes us better. It's a good problem to have. And then James Harden, following his debut, said that he was excited for Kyrie to get back. He's a key piece to what we're trying to do. The chemistry, the sooner we can build that, the sooner we can be on the court together. It's going to be scary hours. It's going to be scary for the rest of the league, and especially in the East, with those three coming together here in Brooklyn. I don't think there's any question about that. What I do question a little bit is looking at them, and certainly one thing I wanted to pose to you was looking at that trio. They're obviously all under contract this season and next season as well, but then they have a player option for the 2022-2023 season. They can all become unrestricted free agents at that point. So I wanted to bring you on and get your thoughts, especially from a salary cap perspective. I know it's a ways away, and I know they haven't played any games yet, but you know how it is. The second a big trade like this happens, everybody says, well, the window is only 2 years, because then after that, they can all become free agents and you don't know what's going to happen. But I also don't think people look at the other side of it, what an extension could mean for any of those guys. And I definitely wanted to touch base with you on that. So, you know, presuming that everything is sunshine and rainbows with those guys, and especially with Durant and Harden, who've played together, what could a potential extension for, let's start with James Harden, look like in Brooklyn?
Right, so all three of them, right now, all their contracts are already lined up where they're all under contract for next season, and then they have player options for the following one. So they can all sign extensions this summer. Once the offseason hits, they're all going to be extension eligible. And so you want me to start with Harden, correct?
Yeah, please.
So So if he wanted to maximize his money, the best thing for him would be to sign an extension where he opts in to his 47 mil player option for 2023, and then adds an additional 3 years. So because he'll have 2 years left after this, including the player option, he can add an additional three more years starting this summer, and that would be for about 161 mil. And then Kyrie and KD, both of them, they both can sign extensions as well. KD can add 4 years, 198 mil. Kyrie can add 4 years, 165 mil. And I have both of them in those extension numbers. They decline their player options for 2023, but just replace it with a slightly higher raise than whatever those player option amounts would be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 160 mil. Basically, each for Harden, Kyrie, almost 200 mil for KD in those extensions. All of them put them through 2026 in those extensions. And just so you get an idea of how expensive it's going to be to keep these three. And I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, I think they are going to get the maximum extensions they're all able to get. That's a lot of money that, you know, KD, he's in his early 30s now. Harden also in his early 30s. Like, this is the most money that they can get on the market too. They probably couldn't get less money if they're going to sign elsewhere. So for them, it's a no brainer. Kyrie, I mean, he can try test the market too if he wanted to, but same deal. It's just safer for him to make more money. He'll make more money this way most likely. So they can each sign these extensions that would align them through 2026. So next year, they're already, the three of them combined, about like 15 mil below the luxury tax, just them three alone. And if, let's say they do sign these max extensions that put them through 2026, KD would be making 55 mil in 2026, Harden would be making 58 mil, and Kyrie would be making 45.5 mil. So that is roughly I think I was 180 something mil. It's ridiculous just what these three players can make all together. Because we always see all the highest paid players. You can go on Hoopsite, the highest paid players list, and you'll see like Steph Curry, LeBron James. And it looks like a couple of years from now, it's going to be three Nets players, one, two, and three, or at least in like the top five or seven.
You know, that's a pretty high luxury tax bill. You look at, obviously, they got to fill out the rest of the roster. And some people, you know, obviously when they re-signed Joe Harris, some people were wondering, oh, well, is Joe Tsai going to pay up for that? And I mean, I would say if he was willing to pay for Joe Harris and retain him, I think that he's going to be willing to fit a pretty large luxury tax bill down the line to keep these guys. And it's so clear the buzz that they've gotten, not only just in the New York market, which I know obviously they want to win for bragging rights, but nationally as well. And I mean, even on that Zoom call when James Harden was introduced, if I looked correctly, and obviously I was on it, I was one of the media members, I think it got up to about 95 participants, which that's a lot. And, you know, the ratings, the TV ratings for Yes Network have gone up dramatically, especially compared to last season when Kyrie was injured for a predominant portion of that. So, you know, financially, you know, you hope one day that we're going to be able to have games and arenas with packed fans, and they're going to sell out. They're obviously stars. The merchandise that they're going to be able to do in terms of sales is going to be through the roof with those three guys. They're obviously popular players. I don't think Joe Tsai is going to have a problem fitting that luxury tax bill at all. That's pretty eye opening. Those numbers you talked about long term, but hey, you know, we saw it with the Warriors. Look at what they had to do with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, and their tax bill is high. Obviously for them, if you win a championship, it's worth it. And, you make more money that way as well. So,
The Nets are about to be paying. That's the Warriors didn't even get the chance to pay that. They were like, if had they kept Durant, then they would have been paying him and Clay and all that money, because KD and Clay and Draymond were like, their max contracts were like kind of considered a discount. Only Curry started making, even Curry, what he was making in the first few years. So yeah, what the Nets are doing now, that's basically what the Warriors would have been doing had they kept everybody. And they're not even done. Yeah, they're out of picks to trade. They don't really have that many assets. But at the same time, I feel like they'll still be aggressive if they can maybe, you know, they've still got some salaries in the form of Jordan and Dinwiddie. I'm not saying that they're available, but you know, if there is another player that can come and really be a good fit with their big three, they could bring him in as well. And then, you know, they might extend him as well. And that'll just add even more money. Like, I don't think there's no limit to the spending. And it's just very fascinating how much more aggressive I think they can get.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, even the pick swaps that they got. You know, you could always try to flip them in another swap as well. And, you know, I don't think Joe Harris is going anywhere, but yeah, they've certainly got some salaries and a younger guy like Nick Claxton. I know that, teams around the league, I remember being at the arena last year, they would always come and opposing scouts and even some executives when Nick Claxton would warm up. He was a guy that drew some interest from teams around the league because he came out, a lot of people felt he came out maybe a year early. If he would have stood another year in college, he would have been a lottery pick. So I think that that's an interesting guy that as a trade chip that they still have if they want to flip down the line that I don't think a lot of people are talking enough about. But, you know, certainly, as you touched on, the Brooklyn Nets gave up a ton in this trade to get a franchise caliber guy in James Harden. What's interesting to me about that was internally, there were some members of the Nets organization who coveted Bradley Beal. And the same package of Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, some salary fillers, and draft pick compensation that they gave up for James Harden, that would have been on the table for Bradley Beal with the Washington Wizards too. However, members of the Wizards organization weren't as high on LeVert and Allen, to my knowledge. And obviously, Washington still wants to hold on to Beal, and they want to make it work with him looking ahead long term, and as well as Russell Westbrook, who they acquired as well, despite the slow start to the season. But I do think that it was interesting to see where Brooklyn's mindset was. It always seemed like they were trying to get another star, and they succeeded. Obviously, they got James Harden. But, you know, looking ahead, obviously, Brad Beal's going to be a guy that's going to be interesting to monitor on the trade market. You've already seen Miami linked to him, and, you know, we'll certainly touch on him in a second. But when you saw the trade for Harden, in terms of what they gave up, in terms of draft compensation and things like that, what did you think of it? Did you think it was too much, just right? What'd you think?
I think that given what the Nets really have, I always felt that whenever a team is going to mortgage all their draft picks in a trade, like the Clippers did it with Paul George, the Lakers didn't give up as much, but they gave up a good amount for Davis. The Bucks gave up a good amount for Holiday. It just reminds me that if a team wants a certain superstar, they can get that superstar as long as they're going to trade all their picks. So for the Nets, they didn't want to trade Durant or Kyrie. So, and, you know, LeVert and Jared Allen, they're very talented players, but, you know, they're not blue chip trade pieces that are going to get you a superstar alone. And it's far from it, obviously, and which is why the Nets had to give up all those picks. So, but no matter what, I do think that any trade where the team has to give up all their picks, all their swaps, I'm not a fan of that trade. You know, the Clippers, they got Paul George, and they, like, everyone justifies it that they also got Kawhi in that trade. But now they're, you know, there's a lot of pressure on them to win it now, and they don't have that much. They don't have anything else they could really trade right now if they want to improve the roster. And now the Nets are going to be in a similar boat. And the good thing about the Nets and Clippers is that money is not going to be an issue, but without picks and with very, very little in terms of trade assets, there's not too much else they could do. So just for those reasons, yeah, I do think it is an overpay. But, you know, it just reminds me, like, every team, when a star says they want to go to that specific team, as long as the team has the picks, they can put together an offer. And I really like that the Rockets got that. If you can get control of any team's draft, that's a good trade.
The other thing I would say too is, you know, a lot of people said that the Lakers overpaid to get Anthony Davis. Well,
not anymore.
Well, you hit it on the head. They won the title. Doesn't matter. Yeah. And if Brooklyn wins a title, if the Clippers win a title at a certain point with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard as the duo there, that's what it's all about. And you would do anything you can. And obviously it raises the stakes. You know, one other thing I would say too is, you know, some people were like, oh man, this is almost like Billy King 2.0. You're giving up all your draft picks. But it's also there's a major difference here. You're talking about Kyrie, KD, and Harden, who are in the prime of their career. You know, this is even better than when Boston had Pierce, Garnett, and Allen.
Yeah.
So
I mean, they're not comparable, but at the same time, I'm sure there were some Nets fans that had a little PTSD when the Harden trade happened.
yeah, but I will say that I thought once you had Kyrie and KD there anyway, going all in for Harden, obviously you have to deliberate it. And I know that Jared Allen has transformed himself into a guy that's going to be a really good starting center in this league. And Cleveland got a great guy in him. Caris LeVert, a guy that showed flashes of all-star potential. And he was the first draft pick of the Sean Marks era. And ironically, that pick they got from the Indiana Pacers, where he ends up now in the
Yeah,
four-team trade.
Thaddeus
But
Young. Yeah.
it's kind of funny how the world works. I totally understood why they did that. That said, we're certainly keeping Caris LeVert in our thoughts and prayers, as well as other people around the league, because it was discovered through an MRI because of the trade during his physical that there was a small mass on his kidney. And it's crazy because I don't even know if that would have gotten found on an MRI, certainly without this trade. Sometimes in life there are unexpected blessings, and I think it really could have been an important event in his life that could save his. I don't know if I want to be as drastic as to say save his life, but to detect this
Yeah.
early is obviously a great thing. What I took from that trade that it went through following that was, it was noteworthy because the Pacers could have avoided the trade, and they didn't. So hopefully that signals from their medical staff and the doctors who obviously did the physical that I would hope that there's some optimism for his health moving forward long term.
Right. I'm not a doctor. I have no idea what a black mass in the kidney means, how serious it can be. But they clearly, hopefully all hopefully it's just them. It is hopefully it's something just very light that can be, that can be managed and taken care of, that can get him, he can be back in the court soon. And all it was just like a piece of business that got him an extra pick. Hopefully that's all it was.
Lord willing, and knock on wood for sure. And with that said, the Nets obviously gave up a ton, as we touched on, to give up to get James Harden, rather. One of the teams that was in the derby of the James Harden sweepstakes at the end, but didn't end up with him, was the Philadelphia 76ers. And as I wrote on hoopshype.com, one executive in the Eastern Conference said, quote, "I think Philly missed an opportunity and is now stuck being in the middle of the East." Another executive, when talking about Ben Simmons, who would have been the key trade piece there for them, didn't exactly give him a ringing endorsement. He said that, quote, "Ben Simmons has not improved in one area of his game at all since coming into the league. He's the same player today as he was his rookie year, and teams have figured him out in the playoffs. He's why they won't go far," end quote. I will say that Ben Simmons has become an elite defender in this league since his rookie year.
Yeah.
Offensively, I would agree his shooting has not improved to where you want it to be. And we've seen the denials from Daryl Morey that Ben Simmons was not going to get traded. And Doc Rivers has said that he loves this team and the duo of him and Joel Embiid. But if Philadelphia is going to make a trade, it seems pretty clear that Ben Simmons is their best asset to get it done. As I also wrote in the story on hoopshype.com, Philly felt that the Rockets were using them as leverage to get as many assets from the Nets, which was Harden's preferred destination. And Harden did acknowledge that behind the scenes, despite how ugly it was, he and the Rockets were working together to get him to Brooklyn. That said, I'm not sure how much Ben Simmons believes that. I mean, when you hear your name coming up that much in trade rumors, where there's smoke, there's fire. When you look at Ben Simmons and his situation in Philly, What do you foresee?
It's just with Simmons, the offensive part. Now he's got Doc Rivers there. If they're, he doesn't need to become a shooter. He doesn't need to learn how to shoot, but I think there are ways that he could become a much an actual like much more improved offensive player. If this year with Rivers goes by and he doesn't make those strides, then okay, maybe this is who Simmons is. But at the same time, when you trade Simmons, I think the Sixers would just be making the decision that, hey, look, Simmons isn't a bad player. As you mentioned, at least he's an elite defender. He's going to be an all-NBA defender, most likely for the rest of his prime. But on offense, yeah, there are some glaring issues there with the fit with Embiid. And if they were willing to trade Simmons for Harden, tells me that they came to the conclusion that offensively this isn't going to work. Maybe they've already decided that there's not that there's not hope for Simmons to become a better offensive player, but that this fit with Embiid has limits offensively. So if you're going to trade him for Harden, in a way, to me, I still feel that there's a lot of Simmons untapped. Offensively, I'm not saying that he can become Giannis on offense, but like given his tools and what he can do, that is kind of what Simmons needs to strive for to be like a little more aggressive, just running down the paint, get to the line even though he's not great at the line. But that's more or less how Simmons needs to be more utilized, I think, if you want to build around him. But you can't really do that with Embiid, so. We're talking about Bradley Beal. I think that that's somewhere that I can see a trade happening. Bradley Beal, just like with Harden, I think he could be just as good a fit with the Sixers. At least with Beal, you don't have to change everything, your whole system, like you might have to do with Harden, depending on the team. You could stick Beal right in there and still let the rest of the team do its thing. So I think that if Beal does become available, seeing that the Sixers were willing to trade Simmons, I think that, if Simmons is going to be available for the next star that the Rockets think would be a better fit, I think that's like automatically right there. You can see the Sixers and Wizards talking, assuming Beal does become available.
It's interesting. You touched on Brad Beal. He's the guy that I think a lot of executives around the league are keeping a close eye on as that really next star player that could be on the move again and a guy that can make a difference for a franchise. I mean, this guy is killing it out there as you know.
He's unbelievable this year. He's
Yeah.
just making everything.
And it's not only that, it's just he's single-handedly trying to keep the Wizards in game some nights, and it just looks like sometimes these losses are starting to wear on him a little bit, and you could see sometimes at the end of games the frustration in his face.
It's a tough situation also because it's the last year on Scott Brooks' contract. There's a lot of pressure. They just brought in Westbrook. Just seems like it's not the not saying it's like a bad environment, but it just there's just a, you could see there's a lot of pressure right now, and it's not helping at all.
Oh yeah, and I mean, let's be clear, Washington, there are members of that organization that thought the Wizards were going to make a return to the playoffs this season with the roster they got, and having Russell Westbrook there in that acquisition, and Beal taking another step. Unfortunately, Thomas Bryant going down is a major blow to them, and we touched on it on hoopshype.com. There are some guys that could be potential replacements for him if Washington chooses. You can check that out there. But that said, you're not going to replace him easily, and there are the East is, I think, better than some people thought. But with that said, we touched on how you thought Ben Simmons could be a guy that would be available for Washington if Bradley Beal was available. I could certainly see that. I mean, Daryl Morey likes guys that can shoot and are analytically off the charts, and certainly with what Bradley Beal's doing this season, the shoe would fit there. That said, there are going to be plenty of teams around the league that would look at Bradley Beal. You know, Philadelphia, as you touched on, would be one. You know, Miami has reportedly been a team that has floated it out there that, you know, they would be interested in him. And, you know, that's another thing that was interesting. When I saw that, you know, coming out of Miami that they'd be interested in him, it took me back to another story on Hoopsite, The Art of the Smokescreen, how agents and executives kind of leak things and to when guys want to get moved in terms of a trade, with a trade request as well. We also got that story on hoopsite.com. If you're not catching a theme here, we've got you covered on a lot of things. But, I think prior to coming on the pod and studio, you know, we touched on the Sixers privately in Miami. I think you also were saying Denver was a team. I'll give when you give me your teams, I'll give you some sleepers I would think of. But I believe those were three that you had in mind that you definitely wanted to touch on. I know you already did with Philly, but hit me with Miami and Dallas.
So Miami, there's been a lot of different reports, I think, from some Miami beat writers that Miami's interested in Beal. They're going to want to pursue him. I don't know how Washington feels about trading him to Miami. They're, you know, being in the same division and all. But this, I know Houston, when they were shopping Harden, they were looking to, they were trying to get everything from Miami, from Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, whatever picks the Heat can offer. I'm maybe a Chua. I don't know what the with Beal, you know, I don't, in a way, I think he kind of has more value than Harden just because he's younger. But at the same time, I don't think he's going to get as much as Harden as whatever a team would have traded or offered for Harden now. With that said, with Miami, you know, same thing. They can offer Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. They might have to get OKC involved to loosen up the protection on one of the picks they have so they can offer more picks. And then there's Denver. That, you know, if Philly were to fall through and not offer Simmons, then I think Denver can come through with Michael Porter Jr. He might be the next best prospect the Wizards can potentially get for Beal. If they're looking for a really good prospect, you know, they can – Michael Porter, I think that the Nuggets I don't – you know, they say he's untouchable, but I think for the right star, they would trade him because they have a window now. And, you know, Porter can definitely be a part of that. But, you know, if they were to – like, you know, when Holiday was available, they were interested. There was no way they were going to trade Porter for Holiday. But if Beal were to become available, I almost want to say that the Nuggets would do it without a doubt. And I'm pretty sure I've seen somewhere the Nuggets have been interested in Beal in the past. Like, they checked in on him.
Yeah, and like you touched on, there's a level here of stars, you know. Now, with that said, James Harden is elite. Is Brad Beal elite? He's getting close. I think if you poll people around the league, would you rather have him or Harden? More people would say Harden. But Bradley Beal, you know, there was like a point where, you know, the fact that Brad Beal wasn't an all-star last year was comical. But
yeah,
we know he's an all-star talent. And I don't care that he didn't make it last year.
He's all NBA. Sure.
Yeah. So Brad Beal, but there's a difference between being an all-star. Like, you know, Chris Middleton is an all-star. And mm-hmm. there are other guys that are all-stars. But there's another level. And Brad Beal has gotten to that next level, in my opinion. And, you know, you touched on, like you said, Denver with Michael Porter Jr. You know, a guy like Murray, Brad Beal, Nikola Jokic, that's a big three. That's a legitimate big three. You touched on it with Philly for Ben Simmons. Bradley Beal with Joel Embiid and a traditional point guard is interesting. Now, it's not a big three, but it elevates you in different areas. You touched on Miami. Jimmy Butler is in his prime. I think you got to try to continue to maximize his window while you can. Him and Bradley Beal would be a nice combo. And, I know that, Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson are valued, and Duncan Robinson's going to cash out this summer, free agency-wise, at least in my opinion. But that said, anytime you can get a guy like that, I think you got to look to do it. Some other teams that I think maybe not enough people are talking about, Toronto obviously was all in on Giannis, and Dallas was as well. My thought process is, Dallas, I don't know if I should say that because, you could put him in the backcourt with Luka, but for Toronto, to me, if you were trying to get a star like Giannis, more signing him, but they've got young guys that they can move, OG Anunoby, and, I just think that, if you, like you said, you touched on, draft picks, you want to give up a lot to get a guy. Masai Ujiri and the Raptors have shown the willingness to go after a star. I wouldn't rule them out. Some other fun, the New York Knicks are the New York Knicks. They're always going to be mentioned with any star that's out there. Could a package of RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson, and could that be an enticing thing? Something to at least have in the back of your mind. A fun one for me, this is just a personal one. It'd be interesting for me to see if the Memphis Grizzlies, with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson and Brad Beal, I think that'd be cool. And, do what you got to do to try and get him. He's still young. Brad Beal's 27, still young.
I was doing some early rough 2022 cap space projections, which is really hard to do because that's really, really far off. But I was looking at Memphis, just seeing what teams can have cap space in 2021, but maybe they could push it over to 2022. And Memphis was that stuck out to me as a team that could pursue Bradley Beal in free agency while also keeping all their core, not just John Jaren, but Brooks and all their players on rookie contracts and Clark. They can make a push for him. I think the Bulls, I saw, they can pursue him if they don't extend any of their players or re-sign anybody, just keep the books clean. New Orleans, actually maybe not New Orleans, but those were two teams that if, let's say, Beal makes it to free agency, I would keep an eye on them.
Yeah, and with that said, certainly, look, every team is going to have interest in a guy like Brad Beal. Everybody's going to do their due diligence, so you're going to see plenty of teams leaked as teams that are interested in him if he does become available at some point this season before the trade deadline, whether he eventually decides that he wants out or Washington decides that this isn't going to work and they need to start a rebuild. But another guy that is a potential trade candidate, really more so following this James Harden 4-team trade, is Andre Drummond in Cleveland. Like I mentioned, I touched on it in the story that a lot of executives feel that once Cleveland gave up a first round pick to get Jared Allen, who's going to be eligible for restricted free agency this summer. Jared Allen's a guy that's 5 years younger than Andre Drummond. He fits more that young core of Darius Garland and Colin Sexton in terms of age. Not to say that Drummond's old, but it seems certainly that Jared Allen is their long-term guy. One executive told me, quote, Drummond is definitely out in Cleveland. Cleveland wouldn't give up a first if they didn't want Allen long term. I agree with that. That said, where could Drummond go. For me personally, in my opinion, three teams that I think could make sense, just as I'm scouring some teams that, you know, maybe could look to upgrade at the center position: the Boston Celtics, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Toronto Raptors. Toronto, that said, you know, Aaron Baines and Boucher have done well. They're good players. I just, you know, was just brainstorming. I mean, really, you know, Cleveland didn't give up a ton to get him. So those were teams that I thought, boy, and I would love to see Charlotte with a really good big man. And certainly, you know, the Celtics, you're in an arms race now. You're trying to compete for the title. And whereas the Raptors and Hornets aren't there, it looks like, to the start of the season, Boston's still there. You got Tatum and Brown. You don't got to give up one of those guys, certainly, to get Drummond. So to me, those were some teams that I thought of with Drummond. But, you know, when you look at his value, whether it's on the trade market, and also this is a guy that's going to be a free agent this summer, what do you forecast?
It's really hard to forecast Drummond. He's really hard to forecast. I don't know how the league values him. It's really weird. It's confusing because, you know, Cleveland, they ended up giving up more for Jared Allen than they gave up for Drummond. They only gave up like a second round pick for Drummond. And so feels like if they do trade him, they at worst wouldn't hurt them to just, they probably wouldn't have a problem given taking back just as little as they gave up. So I'm not sure how the league values Drummond right now. And I'm not sure if it's because of his game. I mean, he just had a monster 30 and 23, I believe, last night. I don't think it is because of his game, but maybe just because how much money he's making. Yeah, he's probably a little overpaid. So it's tough to see not only who wants to pursue him, but like also how much is he going to get offered? What is he willing to settle for? And out of those teams you mentioned, just in the short term, yeah, for sure, Charlotte. I think they haven't had a like really good quality center since Al Jefferson. So
throwback.
Andre Drummond, huh?
Throwback.
Yeah.
Big Al. Like
since the Bobcats came back, I think Al Jefferson's been like him and Okafor. Those were like the two, like the best centers that they've had. So Drummond, he would easily slide in with Charlotte. They could really use his defense. I mean, Drummond's like, say what you want about him, I think he's playing like, you know, almost at an all and defense level. I mean, he's not gonna get it before Bam and AD and Embiid and Giannis, but he's definitely at least should get some consideration for his defense this season. He's a big reason Cleveland has I believe they're tied for number one defense. I don't know if they still are, but like for most of the season they were. He was a big part of that. So yeah, Charlotte, they can easily do something like Zeller, Monk, another small salary. They could get that done pretty easily, I think.
Yeah, and if you're Cleveland, I mean, I think you're just trying to continue to stockpile assets for the future. And, you know, maybe, I don't know so much, you know, I know you touched on Malik Monk. Sure, maybe you could take a flyer on him and see if you can unearth some of the talent. You know, sometimes a guy needs just a new situation. But, you know, really just like they, you know, draft pick compensation. And Drummond is a guy that's leading the league in rebounding right now. You know, guy's averaging 19 and 16, three assists, and, you know, about a steal and a half and a block and a half a game at 27. He is in the prime of his career. I just think that it would be cool to see him on a team like I said, if he ever ended up on a team like Boston, a playoff team that's trying to compete in the playoffs, I think he could help a front court. And certainly, if it's a team like the Charlotte Hornets, team on the rise, they've desperately needed a front court big. I think it would be great for them. And, you know, you touched on it, it's going to be interesting to see what his free agency value is. I think you and I are looking at it as in the same way that you really don't know. To say that, you know, is he going to make the same salary that he is now, despite putting up arguably career numbers? It's not a lock because, you know, the value of the center position has gone down across the league. So a little bit tough in that sense. But, you know, you touched on Jared Allen. You said that, you know, Cleveland gave up more of an asset to get him in a first round pick. That is true. He's younger. I think he's a guy that is going to get paid this summer. You know, Ed Davis, you know, always had the famous quote about Jared Allen one day becoming $100 million man. We'll see if that comes to fruition or not. But one guy that I think we can, barring injury, bank on as a guy that's going to make a lot of money this summer is Victor Oladipo. And Victor Oladipo now going to the Rockets is an interesting fit for me. But what was also interesting was Ryan McDonough, the former GM of the Suns, tweeted out that Oladipo was offered an extension of about $25 million annually, and there was fear that he'd walk away for nothing. And so, and, you know, that was part of the reason why Indiana moved him and got Caris LeVert back, younger guy, less expensive, and under control. You know, a league source that I spoke to with knowledge of Indiana's thinking said that Oladipo was available since September on the trade market. So, you know, that said, it's interesting to see that they end up with LeVert. But, you know, when you look at the comparison of Oladipo to LeVert from a salary cap perspective, what do you think? Do you think it was worth it to go from Oladipo to LeVert, both now and long term?
Yeah, I mean, for a guy who made it pretty clear that at least to me, that he wasn't going to return to Indiana, they did pretty good. And that was actually something I've considered in my past. Whenever I just look at teams and I think of hypothetical trades, I have thought about the potential of maybe the Nets would have traded Caris LeVert straight up for Victor Oladipo. Didn't think the Nets would do that, but I have thought about, yeah, I could see the Nets doing that. I could see them going for LeVert. You know, LeVert's really good. I think in some ways he still has a lot more to show that he's capable of. I don't know. There's just something about his game that you see him play. On some nights he looks like the best player on the court, but I also think like there's still a little bit more left that we haven't seen yet. So we'll see when he comes back, hopefully soon, see what Bjorkren could get out of him. The good thing about that trade though is that so the Pacers, they offered him the max extension that they could offer him, which was, I believe, 4 years, 113 mil. It would have started Oladipo like 25 mil. And Oladipo didn't agree to that. He's not there anymore. Well, at least with LeVert, he's making about 16 mil this year, and he's locked in for the next 3 years after this one, where he's going to make slightly more. So you got him cost control. You got a really good player. You know, he might not be as good as Oladipo was, say, in 2018, his 2018 season when he was all NBA. But you're getting a guy that you don't have to worry about contractually for a while. And he's really good. Maybe even could make an all-star team. Who knows? Now, but with Houston getting Oladipo, they wouldn't. I'm guessing Oladipo is open to the possibility of a future in Houston, right? I don't know why else Houston would have taken him instead of keeping LeVert.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there. To me, you know, look, there's got to be some type of a wink, wink understanding here, because you're not. I mean, Nate, look, you can make the case that, well, maybe Houston wasn't fully enamored with Caris LeVert, and maybe they still think they want to compete. But that said, I don't think you give up a young guy like that for a guy that's a free agent that's going to walk. I think the optics of the situation, especially, I'll say this. There's a possibility that Houston thinks that Oladipo is a better asset that you could flip at the trade deadline and get more back. Maybe they weren't as enamored with LeVert, like I said. But if they keep LeVert, if they keep Oladipo past the trade deadline, then there's the pressure from an optics standpoint that you just traded for this guy and you can't let him walk. That never looked, you know, this isn't a guy that's old. This is a guy that's in the prime of his career. So on one hand, that would give Oladipo and his camp leverage going into free agency. And, you know, as you look at the free agents, the top free agents that are available, we saw a lot of guys do extensions prior to the season that diluted that crop of talent. And if you look at the top free agents on the market, Oladipo is a guy that's going to be one of the top free agents on the market. And of course, obviously on hoopshype.com, we do have our 2021 NBA free agent rankings, currently headlined by Kawhi Leonard. But make no mistake about it, Victor Oladipo is high up on that list and is a guy that stands to make a ton of money. There are a lot of teams with more cap space this summer. Somebody's got to get that money. Why not Victor Oladipo?
Yeah, so I think with Oladipo, like, and this is just my opinion, he will go with the team that is willing to offer him the most money. And, you know, all it takes is two teams to be interested in a player to potentially drive up his price, maybe even to the max. You know, there's a lot of reports that he wants to be in Miami. That's his number one destination, and they can offer him not a max contract, but something around what the Pacers could have given him in an extension. So if Houston wants to keep Oladipo, I think it's clear they're going to have to pay him a lot. Otherwise, you can let him go, and they'll have cap space next summer, although there's not too much out there that's super interesting to pursue. A lot of teams are trying to get out of the cap space for next summer. You know, maybe they have an idea of the teams that are interested in Oladipo, and they could sign and trade him and maybe get some picks, get a trade exception for him. So if they could spin him that way, okay, then it's worth it, especially if they're not enamored with LeVert, as you said. Just another piece of real estate that they can just get a little extra from the Harden trade through Oladipo.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point about that real estate. I think there's going to be a lot of exciting moves ahead in 2021. Speaking of real estate, you're going to be one of them. You're going to be moving as well, so that's going to be fun to see. Brother, it was a pleasure breaking down the Harden blockbuster with you and what it means for all those four teams moving forward, and previewing the potential trade market for guys like Brad Beal, Andre Drummond. I want to thank everyone also for tuning in as well. And if you want to hear more episodes of the Hoops Hype podcast with guest appearances from players, coaches, executives, and fellow media members such as Yossi, you can like and subscribe to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can keep up with Yossi on Twitter at Yossi Goslin, YossiGozlan. And you can keep up with my tweets on Twitter too, at Mike A. Scotto. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.